Welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. I am your host, Kevin Kaufman, and along with my business partner and co-founder, Fred Weaver, we bring to you our podcast, The Kevin and Fred Show, where once a week we bring to you an expert interview every single Monday. We interview one of the brightest and best in the world, usually in the real estate space, sometimes in technology, sometimes in entrepreneurship, sometimes just in forward thinking. The things that are going to help us learn to move forward are the things that we're interested in bringing to you on this podcast, so we don't keep it limited to just real estate agents. And I think you'll find that really valuable if you've been listening or if you're a new listener, all in the same. We also bring you once a week something we call industry headlines, which is a look at what is going on in the real estate world, what's happening in the mortgage space, what's happening in the technology space. Bring that to you in a short form, 10, 15 minute podcast at the most, once a week on Wednesdays. We're also a proud member of the Industry Syndicate family of real estate and mortgage podcasts. Check out that app in the App Store. Again, that's Industry Syndicate. And if you would, please do us a favor. Please leave us a review, download, subscribe, share an episode with a friend. We would love it. There is no better way to say thank you, except for maybe a real estate referral, because we are, after all, real estate agents, and we love real estate referrals. We're based in the Phoenix area and would love to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in to the Kevin and Fred Show. Hey guys, it's Kevin. I'm back. Another guest this week. My friend from north of the border, Kelly Scar, joins us, and he talks about his real estate journey. We talk about quite a few things, sort of his evolution in the real estate world, the path that he's taken. He's done some real interesting things. We've traveled similar paths in the industry, not exactly the same, but a lot of similarities that I think you'll recognize as you listen to it. If you've heard me talk at all, you'll know a lot of what we talked about resonates with both of us. Kelly shares with me kind of how he gets started in real estate, why he went from what was a really highly successful model for generating business when he first entered, which was open houses, and how he moved and why he moved into the online space to generate his business. And we also kind of talk about like the future of the industry and sort of where his business is going next. Talk a lot about the power of giving back. And I think the punchline here that we talked about was mental toughness and some of the things that he's endured. So I hope you, I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Kelly is a really great dude, really smart guy. And I believe you're going to enjoy this episode a ton. So without further ado, Mr. Kelly Scar joins us on this week's episode of The Kevin and Fred Show. All right, we're back on the Kevin and Fred Show, and today I'm joined by my good buddy north of the border, Mr. Kelly Scar. Kelly, how's it going, buddy?
It is going well, my friend. Going well.
How's that?
I always like Mondays after a big win on the weekend, dude.
I bet. I'm not feeling that today, as you know. I mean, who knows? Probably by the time this is played, I feel like we're going to be feeling a big win as the Raiders. And but like at the time of this recording, I'm reeling a little bit. So I'm glad that you're feeling good though, dude.
Yeah, I was where you are today. I was there last weekend. So because we lost to the Colts last weekend, which was a heartbreaker in overtime.
Yeah. Anyways, we could totally talk about football probably on this for a while, but my guess is we should probably talk more about real estate since that's, you know, that is kind of what the show is based on.
All right.
But dude, I wanted to just take the chance. I got to sit down and be on your hot seat with you and Robin. And I wanted to like flip the script and be able the chance to kind of grill you and talk about your journey and your career in real estate, because you've done some really cool things. And just wanted to kind of talk about that and maybe some lessons you've learned along the way.
All right. Let's get a rocking and rolling. Where do you want to start?
Let's do this. For just context for the listener, tell us where you're at and where you're located and how long you've been in real estate.
So I am in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I've lived in Calgary. I moved to Alberta from British Columbia, which is the province over to the west of Alberta, back in 1998. So I've been in Alberta for the last, do the math for me, Kevin, what is that? 22 years.
Wow.
22 years. I've been in Calgary for about 17, 18 of those years. Got into real estate. I was a welder before real estate. Everybody's always got a different career, right?
Always, always.
Yeah. So I was in the trades. I'm a ticketed Red Seal journeyman, B pressure welder, which means I was, you know, I was welding on pressurized pipe and vessels and stuff like that for the oil field. So I did that for about a decade and, you know, I got to a point where it was time to get out, man. Like I was, you know, I got hurt a couple of times pretty significantly. My back, specifically, put me into, this is the genesis of how I wound up in real estate. Right. So I'm, you know, I'm in the shop, I go and I pick up this heavy cable, I'm carrying it up a ladder and all of a sudden one of the muscles in my back pulls and it just totally gives out. And I'm like hobbling to the first aid station basically. And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to go to the doctor, get checked out. So I go to the doctor and it turns out I massive strain of a muscle in my back. And I'm like down for the count for like 8 weeks. Ooh. Right. And so I can't afford to be on workers' comp. So, and they didn't want me to go on workers' comp. So they're like, well, why don't you go on light duty in the office? And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? Right. Well, they're like, so you work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, you have to dress up though. You can't wear like jeans and ripped t-shirts like you do on the shop floor. Right. And, we're going to pay you your full wage. So I was like, okay, so $36 an hour. I'm going to be in the office shuffling papers from 9 to 5, wearing khakis and a golf shirt. Okay. Where do I sign up again? Done. Let's do it. Right. So I'm in the office for like 6 or 8 weeks and, you know, I really got to thinking. So I had started university, but never finished. And, you know, I'm in the office, my wife and I are talking and, you know, at this time, we were married at that time. So we were trying to decide whether like what I was going to do with the rest of my life. Was I going to go back to university and finish off my degree? Newlyweds, right? Not a lot of money. She was a teacher. I'm a welder. You know, we were making decent money, but to spend, you know, $40,000 on an education and take me out of the income producing side of the family at that point, right? Probably not the best plan. So my dad was in real estate for 25 years. My sister-in-law lives up in Edmonton, which is about 3 hours north of Calgary. She's been in real estate for 22 years at this point. And I just felt like I had this natural affinity towards sales. You know, I can talk a pretty good game. And I decided, okay, well, I'm going to go get my real estate license. So I started doing, while I was working in the office, I started doing real estate, my real estate course in the evenings. So it was Tuesday and Thursday night. So I'd go to work all day, come home, eat dinner, and then I'd be off to the real estate board to take the course between 7 and 10 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then it was a full day on Saturday. So there was no overtime to work at the shop. So it was pretty easy for me just to go in and on Saturday and take that full day. So I did that for, what was that? I think it was around 3 to 6 months, something like that. So I did that kind of part-time. And then I got licensed in August of 2007. The oil field was just absolutely booming at that point. You know, price of a barrel of oil was like approaching $140 a barrel. Whoa. You know, in today's context, we're like at 40, I think, right? So it was, you know, 13 years ago, the price of a barrel of oil was around $140 a barrel. So things were moving in the oil patch. There's no shortage of work. I could have got fired from that job, walked across the street and got another job. No problem. Right. So I decided to leave my full-time, position, six figures a year and go into full-time commission sales in April of 2008. And that's when, you know, right around the time that the real estate market in the US really started to take a big dump. Right. Yeah. And so,
yeah, dude, I got licensed in like end of May 07. So yeah, right. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, you know, exactly what's going on there. So, you know, I got into real estate probably at the absolute worst time as you did. Right. But I saw it, I look back on it now as a blessing because it, I cut my teeth in one of the most difficult markets. I'm still here today, 14 years later. You know, I've had massive ups and massive downs. I started as a solo agent, went full-time in April of 2008. Did 8 transactions my first year. So it was like, my goal was to do a deal a month. And I remember my wife and I having this conversation. It's like, oh man, if you could just get to a point where you're just doing a deal a month, that's like, you know, 120 grand a year. It's like, yeah, if I could just get to that level, just a deal a month. Right. And, so then the goal going into 2009 was to do a deal a month. So I had one full calendar year. I was going to do a deal a month. So I was going to, you know, I wasn't going to double my business, but I was you know, I wanted to do 12 transactions. Well, I did double my goal in 2009. So 2009 in our market was very, it was a very odd year. It was like right in the middle of a big crash and like in an even bigger crash. It was like 2009, people didn't know what was happening with the market, but there were still sales that were happening, right? People were still buying and selling real estate. So 2009, I went from 8 deals in 08 to 24 deals in 2009. Decided at the end of 09 to kind of shift my business model and go 100% online. At that point, I didn't have a website. You know, I was doing no online lead generation. You know, I was on social media, but we weren't using social media to generate leads at that point. At least I wasn't. So, you know, I got primarily most of my business was from doing 2 open houses each weekend. And I got really, really good at open houses to a point where, you know, somebody would walk in and it's like, I would come home and my wife would be like, the question wasn't, did you sell the house? She'd be like, how many people did you pick up today? Right. Yes. So it's like, yeah, like, you know, so I go from 8 to 24 and then 2010, I shift the business model. I go 100% online. I started doing video blogs, started writing content. It took me about 2 full years between 2010, 2011 to really start to rank in the SERPs and, you know, get Google finding me in organic. By 2012, so 2010, 2011, I did 22 and 24 deals respectively. And then 2012, I did 42 transactions.
Whoa, it's a big jump.
A massive jump, right? And I was generating like 50 leads a month off of my website that were 100, it was 100% organic. I was spending no money on lead generation whatsoever.
What convinced you, like, what was the thought process? Like, why did you decide, like, you're having success open houses, dude. So like, where did the, hey, I'm going to take this online and I'm going to go for this organic sort of, SEO type of play and video play. Like, where did that come from?
Quite honestly, it was like other people in my marketplace, guys like Cliff Stevenson and Jared Chamberlain and, you know, guys outside of my marketplace in Vancouver, Ian Watt. I don't know if you know who Ian Watt is.
Oh yeah. 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 For
right.
Sure.
He was featured in the book Crush It by Gary Vee. Right.
Yeah.
So he was like one of the first video blogging realtors in North America, if not the first. He started in like 2006. And so I remember calling Ian at the end of 2009 saying, hey, you know, I want to shift and start moving towards video blogs. You know, have you got any advice for me? And he, you know, graciously took my call and we chatted for probably a half an hour and he gave me some really great advice, some great pointers. And, you know, ultimately what it just broke down to is just get comfortable in front of the camera and be yourself. Right. And so I looked at all of these other people that were kind of, that I looked up to in the industry that I felt like were at the tip of the spear. End of 09, I read Crush It. Right. And it's like, well, shit.
Game changer, this, right, dude?
It was an absolute, that book was like, something went off and it's like, I'm moving 100% online because that's where the attention is.
Same. Right? We read it. Dude, we read that book and the next week had it. I'll never forget. Fred and I were on our way to San Diego. We stop at a Target. We buy this Kodak ZI-8 camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we start filming video blogs right then and there. And dude, November of 09, reading Crush It changed everything for us. That's so funny to hear the same thing.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. It really did. And it really convinced me. It convinced me that this is where the future was. This is where the attention was going to be. This is where the eyeballs were going to be. My wife, on the other hand, needed a little bit of convincing, right? So I'm on Twitter incessantly, like Twitter at that time for all of our, you know, younger millennial listeners out there. Twitter was one of the first social networks. And, you know, I grew a pretty good following on there. I think I got 3,700 followers on Twitter, right? But it was like, I was on there constantly. And if you talk to or listen to guys like Gary Vee, that's where he built his following, was on Twitter first. Scott Stratton, same thing, unmarketing on Twitter. That's like, you listen to Scott Stratton's story, you read his very first book, and he talks about what he did with Twitter. He spent like, I think 2 or 3 months, like his head buried in his phone and in his computer, just responding to every single DM and post and message and just like really engaging, having those conversations. Right. And so the blueprint was there. I just followed the same blueprint. That's all it was. So, you know, engaging in conversations, following people in my local market. You know, whenever I had something to say, I would make sure that I would post that up there, you know, especially with my videos, my video blogs. The video blogs always had to have a place to sit, right? I wanted to direct traffic to one place where I knew that I could probably start generating business from it. And so it took, like I said, 2 solid years of content creating, You know, 5 videos a week for 2 years, writing content, posting that up to my website. You know, I would sit down. This is funny. I tell the story quite a bit now. I never used to because it was my secret, right? I'd get this question, be like, I'd be at a conference and people would be like, well, like, how do you have time to shoot 5 video blogs in a week? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm just efficient. I don't know what to tell you. Right. But the secret was I would start on a, like, and I didn't have the Kodak. I had the flip cam with USB thing that
was
the
same thing, just a different, different.
Brand.
Yeah.
So I would set my, it's funny. My laptop is sitting on like a couple of books right now, a box and a book, right? Because I am trying to setting up my room and stuff like that. Anyway, I'm going back to like the same sort of thing that I used to do. I'd have this flip cam and I would set up all these books, stick the flip cam on top of the book. I'd have my shirt on, you know, have my pants on, go and I'd hit record, go sit down and be like, hey, happy Monday. It's Kelly Scar with Calgary Real Estate Connection, blah, 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 blah. Right. Get into my thing. Get up, shut off the camera. I'd have like 5 shirts hanging in my office off camera, right? 4 shirts, whatever. So I get up, I change my shirt, sit back down, like hit record, sit back down. Hey, happy Tuesday. And then happy Wednesday. And then happy Thursday. Right. So I go through the whole thing and I shoot like, you know, 15 minutes worth of content. And then, you know, my Sundays in between open houses and shit like that, I would sit down and I would edit this video and get it ready for upload. And so, yeah, it was a hell of a lot of work. Like it took a long time. And so my wife would be looking at me going like, when is this going to pay off? Like when, like it's, this has been, we're going on 2 years here. Like what, like, you know, remember when I first started in real estate, if you could only just do a deal a month.
Oh yeah.
Just a deal a month. Right. But you know, at this point now we had, when I got licensed in 07, we didn't have kids, right? My wife got, we got pregnant in January of 2008. I left my 6-figure good paying job in April of 2008. My wife was 4 months pregnant with our twins. Right. And so I had no plan B, man. It was like, I'm sink or swim, dude, like go after it and get some and be successful. And if I could do a deal a month, great. But then when you're doing 22 deals a year, right, at like $160,000, $170,000 a year, but you're, you know, you've got 2 sets of diapers to buy and double the food, right? And, you know, you still want to go on vacations and your wife isn't working because she's on mat leave and, you know, she's at home, she's got her job, she's taking care of the kids and stuff like that. So, you know, once 2012 hit though, man, it was like, see, I told you this shit was going to work. I told you, right? So then I, you know, saw success with, you know, being a solo agent at the end of 2012. It was like, well, I'm doing all these deals, natural progression. Now I got to start a team, right? So then I start looking around at different web platforms and stuff like that. And I remember very specifically, this is very vivid in my mind. It was January 2013 and we had the Calgary Real Estate Board puts on every January, they put on like their big conference, right? So Chris Smith was in town. Amy Shuru was in town. I had volunteered to go and pick them up from the airport, which I did, went and picked them up from the airport. And there was a bunch of us that were getting together at a pub downtown. And so we're picking them up at the airport. We're going to go to this pub downtown. So we do that. And so we're sitting there, we're drinking some beers, shooting the shit. And I'm listening to, I got one conversation going on over here, but I'm listening to this other conversation out of my left ear, right? And this guy, Cliff and Cliff Stevenson and Chris Smith were having this conversation about this Boomtown platform, right? And so I was running an Uber tour website at that time and it was costing me maybe $30, $40 a month, something like that, right? So I'm listening to this conversation and I hear Cliff say, yeah, it's, you know, it's pricey. It's going to cost me like $2,000 a month. And I'm like, I'm like, hold on a sec, excuse me. I turn to Cliff, I go, dude, are you fucking insane? $2,000 a month? Because he was on the same platform, the same Uber tour, right? I go, $2,000 a month? Are you crazy? He looks at me dead in the eyes. He goes, Kelly, that website's going to make me $250,000 this year. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. This is crazy. So then I get home and I start researching the shit out of it, right? I get onto a couple of calls with them. I start mapping everything out, you know, I'm a partner in my marriage. My wife is, you know, I want to include her in on some of these decisions, right? And so I map everything out. I put it on the kitchen island. I'm like, listen, this website, it's going to generate leads. I know it, you know, I've got this other site. It's still organically generating leads, which is great, but this is going to allow me to grow and scale and hire agents and, you know, build a team. And we're going to make, you know, you thought 2012 was good. Well, we're going to make double the money. Right. So I go and I get the website. They only have licenses available for Edmonton. So Edmonton, again, is 3 hours north of me. Right. So I'm like, okay, fine. So day one that the site goes live, boom, we get our first lead. And I had a couple of agents up in Edmonton that were going to run the leads for me, which they did. So I had that site through until about March, April. I get a phone call from Boomtown and they say, hey, a license just opened up in Calgary. Do you want it? I'm like, hell yeah, I want it. They said, well, do you want to keep the one at Edmonton? I'm like, hell no, I don't want to keep the one at Edmonton. Right. We're talking like $4,000 a month here. That's insane. I'm not going for $4,000 a month. I'll go for $2,000 a month for the Calgary market. So I did. Went and hired some agents and, you know, started crushing some deals. And, you know, I went from 40 some odd transactions in 2012. And I think 2013, we did 65, 70, somewhere in that range. So pretty good numbers as far as I was concerned, yeah. But dude, I had no fucking clue what I was doing. Like, as far as being a leader, as far as running a team, forget it, man. That was one of those moments where, you know, the turnover was just ridiculous. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't keep people. I couldn't figure out why people didn't want to join. Right. And I go to a Boomtown conference in 2013. I'm talking to Mike Gerbic, you know, and Adam Bailey are there. And so they had their brokerage in Kansas and Wichita doing almost 1,000 ends a year. And I got to talking to them and I remember this conversation as well. And they're like, yeah, man, you need a coach. Like you need somebody to help you like learn how to be a leader, right? That's what you need. So I come home from this conference and that was the first thing I did, man, is I went and hired a coach. She ran me through like mission, vision, values, helped me understand that this, you know, running a team, being a leader isn't about me. It's about the people that are within the organization, right? And you're there to service them. You have the privilege to be able to service them. And it was just a complete shift in my mindset, 100%, like total 180 degree turn. And that's when things started to turn around.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just hearing so much of that, like how parallel we were on a lot of things is number one is fun. But you know, it's funny, I was having a conversation this morning, a good buddy of mine, he's actually my first realtor, sold me my first house. I've known him, known the guy for 22 years or so. Really good guy. And he called me and he's always kind of run like a solo business. He does great. He runs a great business that has for, you know, he's one of those actually weirdos. He got into real estate at the age of 18. So and he's our age. So but he's always kind of run solo. And he was asking me about like online leads and a few things. I'm like, dude, you know, here's the deal. Like Mike, he's also done a ton of flips and like wholesales and things like that. I said, Mike, dude, here's the deal. When I think about what you do every day and running your business, it gives me headaches. I want to turn around and run the other way. Like, I don't want to deal with that. And I'm not saying it's easy for you, but it is simple. You understand it. You've learned it. Like you've gone through the pain. I'm like, that's how it is with team stuff. I'm like, I'm not trying to talk you out of the team stuff, but you got to understand like Fred, and he knows my business partner, Fred, we've been at this now for almost 30, it'll be 13 years in just a couple of months that him and I have been building our team. We've gone through the headaches. We've gone through some of that stuff to get to the other side to where it's not as painful. We don't have to deal with the same problems that you're going to have to deal with for the next 5 or 6 years as you build. You just got to decide what set of problems you want. Like it's not good or bad. You got to decide which set. And it's truthfully, it's not for everyone. And it's funny, you know, you talk about like going, I need to learn how to lead. I got to get a coach. And like, there's just all these things and a lot like transactions. I don't know if your experience is the same, Kelly, but like I always tell new agents, like you need transactional experience. And unfortunately, the only way to get that is to do transactions. It's the same thing with team, like dealing with leading people for the first time, hiring and recruiting and losing people. And how do you keep them happy? And how do you provide value? Just all that stuff, man. It's like, that's not selling real estate. It's a totally different skill, if you will. And it's also not generating leads. It's something totally different.
Oh, 100%, man. And I, you know, keep in mind my background as well. Like I came from an employee mindset, right? Like I didn't have to go out and get the business. That was somebody else's job. All I had to do was show up and do my job every day. Right. And so it was understanding which hats I had to wear, you know, where I needed to excel. understanding what the brokerage offered, leveraging what they had, right? But then offering my own set of values, right? Understanding what my value proposition was. Because, you know, I mean, the brokerage that I was at had a shit ton of teams, right? There was all kinds of different options. So what was my USP? What was my unique sales proposition? What was going to separate me from somebody else at the same brokerage? Like, why do you want to join me versus joining somebody else, right? So once I was able to really discover, like drill down and discover what my unique sales proposition was, what it was about Up Real Estate Group that set us apart, right? It came down to was just more or less, you know, getting away from like the massive team mindset mentality and focusing in on kind of that boutique, right? I didn't want to be the biggest and the best. I wanted to be the best, right? It didn't need to be the biggest, just needed to be the best.
Yeah, I think that's something that I feel like a lot of people think they like to be best, you got to be biggest, or to be biggest, you're going to be best. And they're not mutually exclusive.
Right. So what is best to you, right? Best to you might be different than what it is to me. So for me to be best, to instill that in my agents, it was ultimately what it come down to was production and how we were taking care of the client, understanding what the buyer's journey was, understanding what the seller's journey was, and making sure that we were 100% present when we were either down one of those tracks, right? So, you know, ultimately what it comes down to is if you understand what a buyer is going to go through, it's all about communication. That's all it is. And so, you know, showing my agents how to communicate effectively and properly, and then building out systems that would enhance that communication or that communicative ability through sequences and campaigns and all that kind of stuff. That was absolutely key as well. That became part of the unique sales proposition for the team as well, right? You come to us, you dump your database into our system, it's plug and play, and we take care of the rest for you. Your sole focus is to make sure that that client is 100% cared for.
Gotcha. Okay. So take me along, like let's go further now along kind of in your career. So you're building your team, you're crushing it, literally, figuratively as well. Yeah. And what's the next evolution in Kelly's story when it comes to your business?
Yeah, man. So 2013, I ran as Kelly Scar and Associates, right? For lack of a better idea around, you know, team names and stuff like that. By 2014, I decided that I wanted to brand the team. I didn't want to operate with, you know, something with my name attached to it. And I guess part of it was the ideology was, and I've come to kind of adjust my thinking on this just a little bit in the last 6 years, is that, well, if I ever wanted to sell the business, how am I going to be able to sell Kelly Scar and Associates, right? But what I came to realize over the last 6 years or so is that there aren't a lot of agents that are willing to pay for a book of business, yep. Right? You know, unless you're a brokerage, you know, unless you have, you know, deep pockets to be able to afford that book. I mean, what's your book worth to you, right? What's my book worth to me? Like, am I going to ask for six figures up front and then you're going to pay me a referral fee over the course of the next 5 years? Like, what does that look like, right? So there aren't a lot of agents that are in the market for something like that. But what I realized was, is that there might be more people. And, you know, I'm thinking long-term. I'm thinking down the road. I'm not thinking like in 6 years, I'm going to be retired. I'm thinking in like 15 years, I'm going to have something that I can sell that's going to, you know, help me retire. I'm going to exit this. It's my exit strategy. Right. So the whole idea is understanding what the exit strategy was and working everything backwards. So now I've got some kind of a roadmap in front of me that I can actually follow. Right. And so my exit strategy was, well, instead of just having this team and having this name around it, this potential saleable entity, the next evolution from there is to be a brokerage. Right. And so the whole idea around branding and you know, creating Up Real Estate Group was that eventually I would become a brokerage. So, you know, in 2012, at the end of 2012, when I decided I was going to build a team, there was going to be a natural evolution to things. Okay. Solo agent, team leader, brokerage. Like that was my evolution. That's kind of what I had mapped out over the course of, you know, 5 or 10 years. That was kind of my big idea. And so I get to 2014, we've successfully branded, you know, Up Real Estate Group is being recognized in the marketplace. We hit almost 100 transactions, 2014. I was very, very burnt out, you know, wearing all of these hats. I was, you know, a lot of the stuff was taking a lot of time away from my family. You know, a lot of complaints from the kids, from the wife. You know, my wife's still very supportive, but you know, at the same time, she's like, you're on your phone all the time. I thought this was supposed to be better. Right. But here I am putting out fires left, right, and center. Like you're, you know, you take on more responsibility as a team leader. You don't relinquish it. Right. Like you take on more.
Yep.
And so, and it's just different, but you're wearing all of these different hats. So then 2015 rolls around. I'd been to a Boomtown, the Boomtown conference in 2014. And I met an agent here in our market down there at that conference. And, you know, him and I got along pretty well. Went out for dinner and drinks and stuff like that. Decided when we got back that, you know, we would get together for coffee or breakfast or whatever. That moved into 2015. And this conversation kind of existed with us for the better part of the year of how we can work together. Well, he was a part owner in a brokerage and I was, you know, hanging my license at a brokerage. So the idea that he was going to come and join me at my brokerage, you know, it just didn't make any sense. Right. So the whole idea was then that, okay, well, if we work together, then the way that we're going to go about that is that we're going to merge our teams and I'm going to become a partner in your brokerage. Right. And so that's the evolution. I saw, you know, in hindsight being what it is, you know, we always make mistakes in life, but I'm not looking back on this experience as a mistake because I see it as a, you know, one of my mentors actually pointed this out to me, after I made my exit in September of 2019 from that situation. You know, they said, you know, you gain a university education on not in how not to run a business. Right. And I was like, yeah, no, 100%. Like I'm not going to discount my time there. I'm not going to discount the conversations that I had with agents. I'm not going to, you know, discount what I learned or what I learned not to do because I did. I truthfully gained a university education in brokerage operations, in leadership, in understanding human nature and how to really take care of the people that are around you, right? And so I'm not going to discount anything that happened there. What I failed to realize, and this is where the lesson comes in, which was also kind of pointed out to me by one of my mentors. He said to me, I called him up and I said, you know, I'm making this move. I said, you know, it just doesn't feel like there's a values match anymore. And I was going to, you know, continue on. And he cut me off and he goes, Kelly, there was never a values match ever. He goes, I told you not to join those guys because your values weren't in alignment. You shifted your values to match theirs because of what you wanted to accomplish. Right. So I didn't stay true to who I was. I didn't stick to my values. Right. There was never a values match. I wound up, you know, basically shifting my values to match what their values were so that I could further my career because it was, again, solo agent, team leader, brokerage owner.
That's powerful. Who said that to you?
Who reminded one of my you? Mentors is okay. His name is okay. Nelson Goulart.
That's yeah. Dude, that's powerful. Like, I hope people hear that. Like, it's funny, dude. There's so many parallels here. Fred and I had made a decision in 2012, where we took a role running a region for Keller Williams Realty. This is not a shot at Keller Williams. It was terrible. We hated it. We realized quickly it was not it. And you know, within under 6 months, we'd already resigned and like we're going back home to run our little real estate team. You know,
right?
This is not at all what we thought we were signing up for. And I remember kind of like beating myself up over it. And my coach was the first one to be like, number one, like, don't beat yourself up. You just got a freaking Harvard Business School education in 6 months. So, So get over that. Having someone like that outside of you, whether it's, you know, in my case, it was a coach, in your case, you had a mentor that had mentioned that to you, like so powerful to be able to take away from these, what, especially in the moment, feel like really bad experiences. To go there's oftentimes something really powerful. And dude, here's the deal. That was 2012 for me. So 8 years later and a lot of years later for you too as well. I still like reflect back on how much I learned in that time, both on things I want to do in my business and things I absolutely know now that I never want had to have anything part of my business. But I like so many of those lessons came in that time. And I'm in a lot of ways so thankful for that big mistake that I made.
Yeah. And I want to be 100% clear for your listeners. Like I'm not saying anything bad about these guys. I just learned how not to run a business, run a brokerage, right? You know, we got to over 100 agents. And I remember sitting in Gary Keller's office having this conversation and telling him, you know, we're over 100 agents and we're not making any money. And it's like, what? He looked at me, he goes, how is that even humanly possible? And I go, well, you know, I don't control the P&Ls. Whereas with my team, I did. Right? I did control the P&Ls. I knew what my profit and loss were. I understood, you know, that if I spent money here, I've got to take it from there. Right? I understood business. But, you know, when you're sitting in a room with, you know, two majority shareholders and they're making these decisions, it's like, you know, you've got to say to a certain extent, but they've already made up their mind by the time they come into that room, right, what's going to happen. Right? So, you know, again, I won't mention their name. Anybody that knows me knows exactly who I'm talking about, but, you know, ultimately, I learned a lot of lessons and, you know, there was actually some really good stuff that I pulled out of that experience. One of which was understanding and learning how to write effective copy, right? Because I did all of the email marketing for our entire brokerage. You know, you would come to us, you would give me your database. I'd upload it into Infusionsoft. I'd create a user account for you. You'd have your unique email address. You'd have your unique email signature. And then twice a month, I would send out content on your behalf. It looked like you wrote it. It came from you. The amount of people, agents that I would have coming into my office on a daily basis after one of those sends was overwhelming. Hey man, thanks so much for doing this. Thanks so much for sending that out. I just heard from this person. The phone's starting to ring again. You know, it was like, wow, I really figured something out here, right? And that has actually turned into a business opportunity, something that I'm building right now, you know, called Rewritten. And you know, it's this.
I love that name.
Yeah, it's solid, built. Dude. You know what? I got to give that one to my wife. Like, she came up with that. Rewritten. So, yeah. And the whole idea is that I'm gonna write your copy for you. And, you know, you're going to get an email from me once a month and there's going to be two emails embedded in there and you're going to be able to copy, paste, send. Right. And that was the whole idea that we had. The value proposition as part of the brokerage was, you know, done for you marketing. We're just going to take it off of your plate and allow you to focus on what you do best. Right. And let us focus on what we do best.
That is solid, man. That is super solid. I love hearing that. So, all right, where are we at? Like, talk to me about like what's going on in your world, in your business these days. Like, so you clearly separated from there. Like, what did you go back to running a big team? Like, what was next? And I want to dive back into the copy stuff as well later on. But talk to me about like what's happened since then.
Yeah, man. So I left in September of 2019. The breakup was not pretty, as most breakups aren't, right? So it was not pretty. I went into a really, really fucking dark place for, you know, the last 3 months of 2019. I wound up at a RE/MAX brokerage run by a good friend of mine just south of Calgary in a little town called Okotoks. And I spent, you know, 6 months there trying to figure out what the game plan was. You know, I had a lot of conversations that were ongoing at the time, different opportunities were kind of presenting themselves, but ultimately a lot of those conversations just kind of fizzled out, as some of those conversations typically do. Right. So, by the time January 1 rolled around, it was like, okay, time to figure out what the fuck, like, which direction am I moving in? Here's what I knew. I knew I didn't want to go backwards. I knew I didn't want to go and build a traditional team again. I'd been there. I'd done that. I had those headaches. I didn't want to go back to it. Yeah. Right. I felt like, could I build another team? Could I be super effective with it? Yeah. 100%. Totally. I totally believe that. But I looked at it as going from brokerage owner, you know, back to, you know, owning a team. Right. It's like, I felt like I was taking a couple of steps backwards. And so, and you know, maybe that's just the bullshit, you know, stuff that we tell ourselves. Maybe to somebody else, they would look at that and go, well, why wouldn't you? You just go back to what you know, right? But I didn't see it that way. So I decided that I was going to just run as a solo agent for, you know, in 2020, I was going to go crush a bunch of deals and, you know, March hits and freaking COVID. And you know, we're kind of looking, my wife and her kind of looking at each other March the 16th when all the schools get shut down. And it was like the same day that the schools shut down, my phone stopped ringing. Right? Like I had this massive pipeline. I was on my way to do 50 deals this year. No problem. And the phone stopped ringing. you know, and people wouldn't pick up. And that was it. You know, March, April, things started to come back about May, June, but the people that I was looking at working with this year, they just, a lot of them just weren't coming back. Right. So, you know, like a lot of agents, 2020 has been a grind. I came to this realization though, you know, at some point this year, and my, you know, so my, so back up just a second, my wife's a psychologist and her business is all about, you know, personal interconnection, having that, you know, face to face, being able to read somebody and their emotions and be able to feed off of that and give solid advice around, based on, predicated on that. Her business moved 100% online this year, 100%, because she couldn't see anybody in person. Right. And this is actually something that I've been talking to her about doing for the last 2 years, right? Let's look at moving a component of your business online where people are going to be able to do like a Skype call or a Zoom chat or whatever it is, right? You'll be able to do counseling online. She's like, nope, won't work. People aren't going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to be comfortable. And then boom, here we are. 100% of her clients are now fully online. So wow. we're started looking around and we're like, this really opens up a lot of opportunities for us. We'd been looking at making a move to Kelowna, BC, which is again, the province, you know, to the west of Alberta, in an area called the Okanagan. It's very similar actually to Scottsdale, like the terrain and whatnot, except for the lack of palm trees. It does get cold in the winter there. You know, but it's not like Calgary. It's not like minus 30 cold and snowing and wind blowing and stuff like that. Right. It's like, you know, minus 30 Celsius. It's like, you know, the worst that they're going to get is maybe minus 5, minus 10, you know, Celsius. So, and that's like in a bad winter. So we started, you know, we've been talking about moving there for 12 freaking years, man. And so COVID opened up this opportunity where it's like, well, if you could live anywhere and you could still have your business, like, why are we still here? Right. So then we started making this decision, like, are we going to do this? So then we wound up traveling there. I was down there like 3 times this year and we're pretty close to making a decision. I think we're probably almost there, but you know, the great thing about it is that my wife's business is going to be able to transition. Doesn't matter which province she lives in, as long as she stays licensed in Alberta, she can still practice here. Right. And she's actually been able to get licensed in BC as well. So she can practice in BC as well, which is going to be great. Yeah. So now where has the business taken me and what am I doing? What's, you know, what's the plan? Well, you know, I've got a rewritten on the go. I've just made a transition over to EXP Realty. I know we said we weren't going to get, you know, too deep into that, but I'll mention that really quickly. Made that transition over. You brought me in as my, you know, supporter or sponsor, I guess you call it. You know, so there's a tremendous opportunity here in Canada, I think, to build the company up and have that network built in.
No doubt.
My goal back in 2015 was to be completely transitioned out of real estate sales altogether within 5 years, you know, and now and to do that with the previous company that I was with. That was a large part of the reason why I left was because I couldn't see how I was going to get there. I was just wasn't going to be able to accomplish the goal. Right. And so, you know, the goals have shifted a little bit. You know, it's going to probably take me another 2 to 3 years to get to that point. I'm still selling, still servicing my clients. Probably going to wind up building out a referral network of some kind. But yeah, I mean, the plan is to be a brokerage owner again, you know, by way of owning stock in the company and being able to build up a really solid network of agents and, you know, take a lot of the skills and stuff that I've learned around leadership and systems and process and, you know, coaching agents and showing them how to do that, how to build a bigger, better, effective business.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of where things are at this point.
Well, and honestly, so one of the reasons why I really wanted to get you on the show is because in this process of you and I mean, we've spent a lot of time, if you will, relatively speaking, over the last few months, really getting to know each other. And if there's one thing I've learned about you, it's like you've got this desire to help other agents. I think it's ultimately what led you into, like, you talked about a business goal, but truthfully, what I heard and what I've gotten to what I've taken from you is like, you really want to help other people go grow the type of business they like. And dude, that's just, quite frankly, that's where I'm at too. That's why Fred and I, that's why we have this podcast. It's why we do so many of the things that we do. It's because we felt like we were on a path and dude, it's been good to us. We've learned some lessons. We've made some money. We've made a lot of friends. And we also felt like we could have avoided a lot of the mistakes we made and shortcutted a whole lot of it and had a whole lot more than what we have currently, and we feel like we can help other people do the same thing. And right. that's really what I've taken from you, is like, you get a lot out of helping other agents, whether it's through the rewritten content, through some of the speaking opportunities and the videos that you've done over the years. But the reality is, and that's, I think that's why we jive so quickly, when we were introduced, is because there's a lot of that kind of mutual interest in helping other people, and knowing that if we keep, we know how to produce, you and I both know how to go out and do things, but if we help other people do it at a higher level, like that's where big things start to happen. And that's where those ultimate long-term business goals get, you know, they come to fruition.
Yeah. And that was a big part of the reason why I got into coaching as well. You know, I'm also a real estate coach. So, you know, I focus more on teams, brokerages, kind of real high level strategy, that type of stuff. Right. I'm not going to really sit down with a solo agent and, you know, show them how to, you know, the 15 different ways to do an open house. I mean, you know, not that open houses, we can't even do open houses here anymore, but just, right. you know, as an example, but I will mention, you know, getting to this point didn't happen overnight. Right. Getting to this point where, you know, I want to give back. I want to be able to help agents do more, you know, lead a better life, build a better business, service more people, service more clients. I want to be able to do that. Like, this type of mentality didn't happen overnight. Right. This has been a work in progress since like 2013. So over the last 7 years. Right. And I think that the people that really truly excel in business have this type of mentality, this mindset. You know, Tony Assai just passed away here, you know, the other day, right? The founder of Zappos. And, you know, he built a truly unique company when it came to culture. And I firmly believe that he embraced this ideology. I don't know about you, but I listen to a lot of what Jocko Willink has to say, you know, David Goggins, Leif Babin, like that whole SEAL culture, the whole idea. I've talked a lot about this with my coaching clients, you know, this whole idea of decentralized command, right? You know, using, you know, military vernacular. And he believed, Tony Assai believed in the same sort of thing, right? Am I the guy at the top? Yeah. Is the buck stop here? Yep, 100%. Am I going to give the people on the ground the ability to shape and form this company in the way that I've asked them to do that? And I'm going to give them tools to be able to do that and be able to produce for me and for us and sell more product? Yep, 100%. Yep. That was his focus, right? And that's leadership. And that's all it is. That's what it's about. If I can sit down with an agent without trying to earn off of that agent, right? And show them how to build, you know, whatever, you know, generate 30 leads in a month utilizing Facebook advertising, or, you know, how to create effective copy to get the phone to ring, or whatever the case is. If I'm going to sit down with that agent and show them how to do that without expecting something in return, that's servant leadership. That's all it is, right?
That's totally what it is, man. And, you know, it's funny because you go back to like the Gary V thing, like jab, 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 right hook. Just the fact of like giving away the content, serving people, helping people get to where it is that they want. The truth of the matter is, you do enough giving, and helping people, like you can't help but to be successful in not just this business, but all businesses for sure.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you can't just go out and say, well, I'm going to give. And then eventually the universe is going to give back to me. Right. Like it doesn't work that way.
No,
right.
You have to do something too.
Right. You're either going to give or you're not. Like, if you're going to give because there's an expectation that you're going to get, don't even fucking start. Like, don't even start. Yep. Just continue on your path, continue doing what you're doing, and let's see how far you go. Right. But if I'm going to sit down without any opportunity or idea that I'm going to earn off of what I'm trying to show you, right? Like that's that go giver lifestyle, right? I'm going to give. And when it hurts to give, I'm going to give just a little bit more. And I'm going to give a little bit more, right? Because I know full well that the universe works it's very cyclical. Right. Yeah. And truly what goes around does 100% come around, man. It really does.
I'm one of those believers
so many times.
I don't know. I'm one of those believers too. That's like, you know, okay, I might do something for you. Right. So like I might give here, it doesn't necessarily, the way I believe is it doesn't necessarily come back. Like, it doesn't mean you're going to do something for me one day down the road because I helped you out one time. You might, you know, you might, because for sure the law of reciprocity says that that's likely to happen. That said, what I firmly believe is if I, like, it's going to come back somewhere. It's kind of like when I'm talking to our agents on our team about making phone calls and making, you know, sending the text messages and having the conversations with their leads or their prospective clients. Like, what's funny is when you really commit to doing the lead generation activities constantly, what you'll find is more stuff that you don't deserve tends to just fall in your lap, because it's not necessarily like you might make 100 calls a day for 2 weeks in a row and you might not get any appointment set up, but you might just have an appointment or two that feels like it came from nowhere, just land in your lap. And, yeah. And that, I believe, is kind of the way this whole thing works. And a lot of time, yeah, it's a direct reflect of our actions. I believe activities produce results. And that said, it doesn't always look the exact same way we think it should look or it might end up looking.
Yeah. You know, let's take some life lessons from Billy Madison. Right. Do you remember that movie, Billy Madison?
Oh,
right.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
So Billy, he's going through his, you know, he gets into high school and he realizes that he's the dork now in high school, right? back in the day, he used to be the cool kid and he would pick on all the dorks, right? Now he's, you know, an adult, he's going back to high school and now he's the dork. Right. And Steve Buscemi, who's also in the movie, he calls yes. him up and he apologizes to him, right? He apologizes to Steve Buscemi. He's like, Steve Buscemi gets off the phone with him and he crosses Billy Madison off of his yes. hit list. Right. Totally. End of the movie rolls around and Steve Buscemi, you know, there's all hell is breaking loose in the auditorium and he gets up there and he shoots somebody or something. Billy Madison goes and says, you know, God, I'm glad I called that guy. Right. Billy Madison called Steve Buscemi, not knowing that he was a fucking psychopath and there was a good chance that he was going to get whacked. Right. That's a bit of an extreme example, maybe. But, you know, my point is, right. Oh, yeah, totally. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to make a phone call because I feel like I'm on your hit list and you're going to try to take me out. I'm going to make that phone call because I truly believe that what I'm about to deliver to you is going to bring value to your world.
Absolutely. Dude. And if you just approach things that way, you just approach people, situations, conversations that way, you're going to end up, you're going to end up doing some really good things. No doubt about that.
Preaching to the choir, my brother.
Awesome, dude. Well, we got to wrap up here in a few minutes. Let me ask you this last, like, kind of formal question I have for you. I'll get to you in a moment. Prior to that. So anybody listening here who maybe wants to, whether they want to check out Rewritten or maybe they just want to connect with you on social or they want to connect with you, period. They might have questions for you. Any of the above, or maybe just something you said today resonating with them. Like, what's the best way for people to connect with Kelly?
Well, they can, if they're interested in Rewritten, they can send me an email, kelley@rewritten.com. So it's spelt a little bit differently. It's rewritten.com. So kelley@rewritten.com. If you want to connect with me on social media, facebook.com/kelleyskar, kelleyskar. My Instagram handle is the exact same thing. YouTube, I believe, is the same thing. If you want to connect with me on my podcast as well, it's called Real. You can search it out in the iTunes store or on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, get syndicated everywhere. It's the Real Conversations podcast. So you can check us out there. And I guess I'm on Twitter too, twitter.com/kelleyskar. So if you're into tweeting, you can always tweet me up over there.
Awesome. We can say basically you can find Kelly anywhere if you're looking for him. Yeah. All right, dude. So one of my last questions is like, what should we have talked about? Like, what's the question I haven't asked you today that I should have? Maybe it's something that's just like important to you at this point in your life and in your career, or it's just something that's important about your story that we just haven't had the chance to dive into.
Oh, great question. You're totally putting me on the spot here too.
I love it. we'll edit out any dead time here.
Yeah, no, you know, I think we hit a lot of, you know, a lot of the high points on my story. I guess maybe one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit was, you know, has to do with mental toughness. And, I hit that dark place at the end of 2019. It wasn't easy. Breakups are never easy, right? I was very negative. I should have just stayed off of social media altogether. I shouldn't have even been on there. Because I was just saying stupid shit like all the time. Right. But I was really, really pissed off. I was pissed off with myself. I was pissed off with my former business partners. I was pissed off at the people that were still at that brokerage, knowing the type of, I was just really, really mad. I was really angry. And, one of the things that really got me through was just getting back into reading, listening to podcasts again. I had been following Andy Frisella for, the better part of a year. I'd let my health go. I wasn't eating properly. I wasn't exercising. I found that, exercising, no matter what you're doing, whether in the gym, deadlifting 300 pounds, or you're just going for a walk, right? There's so much serotonin that's released that just pleasure centers in the brain are activated, and it just puts you in a better frame of mind, in a better mood. And so at the beginning of this year, January 1st, 2020, I started the 75 Hard program. I actually ended on March the 15th, which was the same day that our gyms closed down here in our market in Calgary, right? But I wound up completing the program. It was not easy. It was mentally exhausting. It was physically exhausting, but I felt like I needed to put myself through the paces in order to be able to pick myself back up again and, keep moving forward. Like it says on my board back here, just keep, doesn't matter what kind of shit you're going through. It doesn't matter, how deep the mud is. In order for you to progress, in order for you to get better at anything, you've got to keep moving forward. And, can you take a knee every once in a while? Hell yeah. Take as many knees as you need to.
Yep.
As long as you get up and you keep pushing, instead of getting up and turning around and running away from the issue or the problems that are out there, you got to get up, get off that knee. And even if you move 6 inches, at least you're making progress.
I had a guest on the show earlier this year, pre-pandemic as well, who was going to be a speaker at an event that Fred and I put on called Next Level Agents NLA Live. He's the former CEO of Keller Williams Realty. Like, he grew it massively in his I want to say 10, 11 years, maybe it was even longer, as CEO of that company, Mark Willis. And he's been through a lot in his personal life over the last couple of years and in business life, really, for that matter. And he's got this slogan that he shared with me. And every once in a while, I'll text him, because I'm like, I just think about it. He's like, KFG, keep fucking going. Like, yes. That is a theme that has just showed up. Like, another guy who I know that John Cheplak, who's also been a guest on the podcast and a friend of mine, and a mentor of yours as well. Amazing. Same thing, dude. It's like, dude, just keep fucking going. People do not realize, whether it's because you're like getting through a tough time, and I've been there, man. I owned a brokerage as well with partners that I just wasn't aligned with. I made the same fucking mistake you did. I thought I was aligned and I wasn't, because I changed my values for a short period of time. And I was pissed off about it too. And I was upset about it. And so whether you're talking about going through a tougher time like that mentally or physically, emotionally, you name it, business-wise, et cetera, just keep fucking going. Like, that theme has just kept up in my life. And it's just something I've just noticed from winners all around. And, dude, when I think of the people that have shared a similar story, Mark and John and so many others, it's no surprise to me that you shared effectively the same takeaway. So, dude, I say all that to say, I appreciate you, honor you coming on the show and sharing that and being open about your story and willing to give back to the agent community, dude.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you having me on here, and I appreciate everything that you guys do for the agent community. You guys have grown and built this Facebook group that you guys give to selflessly, and which is very unlike a lot of the other groups that are online today. Right. So kudos to you and your business partner, Fred.
Thanks, man. Good job. I appreciate it. All right, guys, we'll be back soon with another episode of Kevin and Fred Show. And thanks a lot to our guest, Kelly Scar, for joining us today. Talk to you guys next week.
And action.
Ow! Hey, it's Kevin and Fred. Do you have a referral for us here in Phoenix? There are 30,000 agents here that you could send them to. Why us? Well, for one thing, we'll keep you updated and you'll never have to track down your commission.
We'll also make you look really good to your client. And best of all, it helps us keep all this content free. So go to kevinandfred.com/referral to make the introduction. We'll take great care of them.
Did you enjoy today's podcast? Join the Kevin and Fred community, part of eXp Realty, and partner with us today. You'll get free access to live trainings 2 or more times a month, live events and in-person masterminds, digital downloads to help you run and scale your business, and much, much more. To learn more and join our community, visit kevinandfred.com/contact and contact us today. Not ready to join our community? No problem. Continue enjoying all this great content on our podcast for free.